Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Amen. This morning we have a very critical and powerful conversation right in front of us. It is going to be a morning that we will not forget. Can I hear a big amen to that? Quite a bulky conversation. I've been trusting God for grace as to how we are going to be able to pull through detailed stuff. And it is very clear that God is doing something that's touching the next generation. God is building something. And the fact that the next generation needs to be constructively built, is that okay now? Is a proof that there is a reason why God is intentional. There are things that will be at stake. There is a level of harvest that will be wasted unless what God needs to do has been done. So this morning I'm teaching a new subtopic on how to heal from a dysfunctional background. How to heal from a dysfunctional background. How to heal from a what? Dysfunctional background. By the time we are done this morning, in fact, I've had to cry to God to help me to be able to teach this without breaking. Because what I'm teaching, I am not alienated from it. Hebrews 4 verse 15, Bible says that we do not have an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, seeing that he was in all points tempted like we are, and yet without sin. This is not a subject that is far from all of us. We've seen the effect in our environment. So first, I'm going to give a dictionary background so that, you know, you can understand, because I'm going to touch some probably unexpected areas. All right, the word dysfunction means a failure to function in an expected manner. The word dysfunction means a failure to function in an expected manner. It usually refers to disorder. So when something is not functioning in the way God has designed it to function, all right, then it is a dysfunction. So dysfunctional backgrounds refers to the background that we all have been exposed to that is not according to God's design. Any kind of background that is not exactly as God intended from the beginning, there is a need to recover. Is that okay now? From it. And I want to show you the background of this study, and for you to understand the critical reason why this conversation is important in the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, we cannot have a new Nigeria without discussing families. And one of the things I'm going to be showing you is that your politicians are not doing worse than what is happening in your family. And unfortunately, I found it to also be true that many churches are also a replica of what is going on in Nigeria. And we can all trace everything down to the family system. Now, give me the book of Psalms, chapter number 11, verse 3. Now, it's quite a popular scripture. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Can we read this together? 1, 2, 3, go. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So it means that God can have a plan for your life, and it is possible that you are handicapped as touching fulfilling it because of something that is not really your fault. It's just a faulty foundation. So foundations are very critical and important. I've told you this before. The word man, this is not the doctrinal meaning, but we can also find it to be true that the word man is an acronym of three words: morning, afternoon, and night. You combine them, morning, afternoon, night, you have man. So it means every man have what is called different seasons in your lifetime. You have three seasons: your morning phase, you have your afternoon phase, and you have your what? Night phase. Your morning phase is the phase of foundation laying. It is the phase where your foundation, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he grow, he will never depart from it. The morning phase is the phase of training. It is the phase where you impact values. It is also the phase of dream. It is the phase where you dream your dreams, where you have your aspirations. In the morning phase of your life, they can ask you what you want to become. Today you want to be a pilot, tomorrow you want to be a lawyer, next tomorrow you want to. How many of you really did struggle with what to become in life? You have to find out. Yes, it is part of the signs of a dysfunctional background. If families will function the way God wants it to function, there are many of you who are actually first class materials, or you finish with second class, lower, third class, and even a pass, because you studied what you were not caught out for. Somebody somewhere didn't know math and envied those who knew math and was able to convince you that your ability to pass math is the only proof of intelligence. So you carried an action of someone's failure, and you left what you were cut out for in order to make sense. Some of you went to science class and you have no business around it. I still insist that you are a genius. You only studied the wrong course. And that's what changed when Nigerians leave the country and they go abroad. They clear the records. Because there is something abusive about our system. It does not bring out the genius in any man. It gives you the cat and dog race. That's what it does. You put the fish, the dog, the cat, the lion, and the elephant on the ground for you to check the fastest. But if you have placed these guys in their own habitat, you will see how good they are in their own niche. So ideally, you see, look at the pattern in scriptures. Before some children were born, words have gone ahead of them. This is what this child will become. So they raise that child based on what the Lord has said. Some of you should have been keyboard players. Now you showed interest in music, but there was too much problem in the family and your music interest. The family is too busy for anyone to have interest in it. So you had to struggle to learn keyboard at age 17, when the best time to learn was between 4 and 5. What we are trying to do is to bring things back to order. Is that clear? Hello, is that very clear? God wants to bring things out, back to order. Bring things to the place where it should function. So in the morning phase of your life, you dream dreams, you have aspiration, you have ambition, you have things you want to go, many things. But if you subscribe to the wrong dream, you will do the wrong job in the afternoon. If at the end of the day, there's no one who can help you get it right in the morning, then why don't you go this path? You'll do the wrong job in the afternoon. And your afternoon phase will be filled with struggles. It is not a crime if you are not cut out for 9-to-5 jobs. Because not everybody is cut out for it. That's the fact. But somehow, once the problem on ground is more than what is coming in, you will have to subscribe for a part that is not yours, so there can be survival. We are going to come out. It didn't sound like your prayer. we are going to come out. Homes in this nation and around the world will be healed again. Some of you know it in your heart. You know you are a genius. But LabTech told you otherwise. OAU in particular told you otherwise. Unilag told you otherwise. And everywhere else you get to, you are smart. Things are changing. I say things are changing. So your background, yes, we say that your background should not put your back on the ground, but it can. It has the ability to. It doesn't matter how rich you are and what your intentions as touching building a house is. If you miss the foundation, there is only a limit to what you can build. So it looks like there's been a form of limit on what people can become because certain foundations were wrongly laid. And I'm going to show you how this has affected us. All of us, including myself. All of us. It is something that is deeper than we can imagine. That you are not at home, but the event that took place when you were growing, they are still shaping your perceptions. They are still affecting you to a large extent. And some of you have cried, some of you have wondered, will I ever be free? Can I really be? Probably you've seen people who are doing certain things, are free in certain ways with their parents, this and that. And you look at them and say, my God, will this ever be me? Can I ever be this soft with people? Can I ever be this free? Can I ever... I don't know if you have asked that question before. It's okay to have asked it. The fact that you are asking is a proof that you are thinking differently. And you will come out. And that's what I've come to help you do this morning. To help you come out and embrace yourself. One critical reason why this study is so important is because your upbringing forms the pedestal upon which your life is built. It forms the pedestal upon which your life is built. Your upbringing shapes the way you perceive and approach life. It shapes the way you perceive and approach life. There are some of you that till today, if your neighbor should give you Christmas food, maybe there's Christmas food and they come to serve you Christmas food, you flush it. Because while you were growing up, there was a neighbor whose temperament was choleric. But they did not understand. And usually, the same way we had killing of twins in the early days, cholerics were always called witches. There's a neighbor you both don't understand each other, and the only definition of that person is that this person is a witch. And that witch keeps bringing food every Christmas or Sala, but you keep flushing it. You have left that home. Now you have a degree, maybe even master's. But that mindset is still there. You still have witches and wizards in your neighborhood. Some of them are your helpers, potential helpers, but you not relate with them because they are witches. And the only problem you have is that you don't understand them, period. They are good people, well-meaning. If you can sit down for 30 minutes, you'll be amazed at how good this person is. But we'll never be patient to do that. Some of them are going through a phase of life that makes them look like one. But they are not. Okay? Some of you, for instance, even when you buy your own meat and cook your own food, it is difficult for you to eat two meat. Because the background is still speaking. Why do you cut meat the way you cut it? The size. Can it change? Because the background is still speaking. I just want you to see that these influences are still there. Sunday jollof is like a culture in every home. Why? The background is still speaking. And many things, you can just check, why am I doing the things I'm doing? Simply because you were raised like that. And the generation that will change things will be the generation that will question things. I've seen people reach out to me sometimes and say, Apostle, I want to have this kind of wedding. I always tell them, any kind of wedding you want to have, I'll join you together. You want your church wedding to be in the night? I'll be here. you want to be joined together via Zoom, I will. Via WhatsApp video call, I will. Oh, you want to get married, traditional wedding and court, no church wedding, we'll come and bless you there. Well, I believe there's nothing like church wedding. It's neo-colonialism. We are still being colonized. It's culture. But it's okay. At least we bless you and we preach. This is a pastor saying it. Because I perceive in the next coming days, things are going to change. I did a church wedding too. Because there's no way we will not do it. A mother-in-law, my own parent too. Oh, mommy, only wore wedding gown. You understand? My child will not wear that white. So if somebody wakes up tomorrow and say we are getting married, and say what we are wearing is Kampala tricotter around neck, I will join you together. You don't need to break a bank to be happily married. You don't need it. Okay? Say you want me to come and join together in your parlor. I will come. I'm not joking. Father and mother are there. They said they are ready. They've given you out. We have their consent. Exchange your vows. Treat each other well. Love Jesus. It's end of sermon. We don't need processional hymn. Good night, guys. We are done. So we do many things because people have done them before. And they shape our perception, our culture. They shape our response to life. Your background shapes the way you see and even approach God. It shapes the way you see and approach God. So, for instance, you will find out that it is only in Africa that God is known as a killer. And we give him the job to assassinate every time. All the enemy in my father's house. Holy Ghost, kill now, kill now, kill now, kill. Fire. The fire of the Holy Ghost is to refine, not to kill. And that's why many pastors don't have ministries once they leave Nigeria. Because the white guy does not have enemy from father's house. You say, you know, Africa. See, the Bible says that the dark place of this world is full of the habitation of cruelty. If it is the gospel, it will pass in every culture. If it changes based on culture, it is not the pure gospel. That's the fact. We have had the first phase of African ministries going to Europe, but you see that we are only gathering Africans. Nigerian pastor in UK, Nigerians. Ghana pastor in UK, Ghanaians. American, you understand what I'm saying? We have not carried the wisdom to penetrate systems and cultures yet. We have not. And one of the reasons is because of the poverty and depravity in Africa, our gospel is centered around finance. Do you know that the way you perceive God is shaped by the way you perceive your father? That's why when a child offends you, parent, and you are telling the child, oh yeah, pass. The child is passing. You will almost think it's like a sin where they want to kill somebody. Child is passing, and on there. We all went through that. If you didn't go through that, thank God for your life. The moment that is over, something dies in the heart of the child. Trust. Trust dies. So many of you can't even understand the depth of God's love. Because the man that should love the wife as Christ loved the church, that will eventually show the children the relationship between Christ and the church, has been compromised. Where we are really going, men in this house, shout amen, is that you want your children to perceive God correctly. And one of the ways that is going to happen is that you will have to develop capacity for largeness of heart. They will disappoint, or you'll forgive. You know, I was trying to read up on the story of this Sarah Jakes and the relationship with her father. You know, her story is not so smooth. How many men functioning at such level of influence will have their daughters make such mistakes, forgive, bring her back, refurbish her? She becomes the first proof of your ministry. Daughter thou art loose, a woman thou art loose, and still consider her fit to carry that assignment to the next generation. The day Dinah got defiled, that story ended. Not because God was interested in that, because someone did not understand God's nature. So if you are planning to have children and you are not planning to be disappointed and forgive them, wrong plan. As God is lifting your influence, you don't want your children to live under pressure, because they are the children of Apostle Femi Lazarus. They have to live their lives. You grew into that influence and your life changed many times over. But you are compelling them since 5, 7, 8, 9, 10. And they grew up with bitterness, 18 ministry. Not because there's no money, but because they lived under your shadow. They faced your pressure. Many of you received many beatings. Because what you did in the presence of a visitor. Not because what you did was that, it was because a visitor. So we raise children for prestige, not for the future. And they know that, I mean, after all, it's all about the visitors. It has to change. When we mirror God correctly, even as a pastor, one of the things I'm going to do, and this is the point where it broke me, is that this series has shown me my own journey as a pastor. And you can recommend it for any pastor. It might be the breakthrough their ministry needs. Because many people don't even know that their church is not growing because they came from a dysfunctional family. And the church is already looking like the family. So it is not just your home that can look like your dysfunctional family. Your office can look like it. The church you are pastoring can look like it. The same bitterness can spill into that place. And you can't tell why the things are happening. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can run a school and the same thing is there. The same culture. So like I said, the way we perceive God is largely influenced by the way we perceive our fathers. It's largely influenced. If you have a father who forgives, you will know that God can do much more. If you have a father who have largeness of heart, who doesn't criticize you and curse at you at any mistake you've made, somehow you'll be able to perceive God as better. But if the father and mother structure is compromised, it will be difficult for you to imagine anything better. So you don't even trust God. Like, what should I do? Am I forgiven after confessing or before confessing? What if this sickness that I'm having now is because of the mistake I made? What if we are not having a child yet because myself and so on and so on, we had an affair? And then what if God... So we perceive God as one who keeps malice. And when he keeps malice, he now comes back to haunt you with sickness. Like, what if... I'm going to die because I've offended God. And Jesus said, if you, when you ask for bread from your earthly father, will he give you stone? Answer, will he give you stone? When you ask for fish, will he give you snake? He said, if your earthly father who are that evil will not think like that, how much more your heavenly father? But do you know that this is where that conversational gets serious? There are actually earthly fathers and heavenly earthly mothers that will actually give stone and snake. So Jesus spoke based on the reality of his time. Can a mother forsake a sucking child? You say no, God forbid. That a child that the mother dropped by the dustbin side cannot say no. You speak based on your own realities. I've lost you there. Even God was thinking that it should not become that absurd, but it is happening. It is happening. You see, there's a friend that sticks together like brothers and all that. I was seeing something on Twitter in the course of the week. A young boy was burying his younger brother alive. He said because they say he should discipline him. And sometimes we just go ahead and preach from our own reality. And that's why there's disconnect with the world. Because we don't know their reality. A pastor who wants to bring people out of clubs and all those things does not know what it means to be there. Somebody is rich, has money, is living life of drugs and all that. You may not have a... See, listen. The fact that you preach Christ doesn't mean you have a message for anybody. I'm telling you, there's a lot of disconnect. And we don't understand it. When you see two people living couples life and they are not married, do you know what sponsors it? You just come out, shun fornication. It is a sin if you are fornicating. Sometimes it is not fornication first. The girl does not have a home to return to. And all her friends don't like her. We have to deal with that first. Sometimes she has a house but not a home. It has made many young girls on campuses vulnerable. And when you talk, they know you don't understand. Have I left you? So this subject is so important because you may not even know that your environment, the background you have, has changed you more than you can ever imagine. You are no longer the same person. You are angry, hot-tempered, insecure, confused, scared, and sometimes just lost. And people believe too. But you look deep within you. You know you are a good person. But you can't tell the reason why you are behaving the way you are behaving. You need healing. Something is not right. And we are not saying it is your fault. You just need healing. So your background is the foundation of your life. And most times when you get it wrong with the foundation, you have to do loads of work. So if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You will need to work. We can go back to the foundation, and that's what we are. That's what we are doing now. It is an open-ended statement. It is not conclusive. A lot of things can still be repaired. You can still have a very happy home. I didn't hear amen to that. You can still be a loving father and a loving mother. You can still become the greatest influence in the life of your children, such that they will look up to and want to become like. A lot of things can still happen. How many of you believe that? So there are only very few people who have been able to recover completely from their background. Very few. Somehow we still affect. For instance, if you watch a movie, maybe an award event for movies, and you see one of those receiving the award, receives his award, maybe on platforms like Oscar platform, for instance, global platform like that, and you see a Nigerian come to receive his award, and goes like, "Eshe gan fun nkan te ti se fun wa, wa fe dupe lowo yin fun award te fun wa." So my mind, you feel like, what's this? What if a Chinese man should do the same? You feel it's normal. You are still colonized despite the fact that they have left. And when your mindset is colonized, your uniqueness is subdued. And you value another man's unique. That is what is happening. That is what is happening. I still look forward to the first couple I will join together in Agbada. Just so you know. But it's not written in the Bible that you shall wear suit. I wore suit on my wedding day too. Maybe I wasn't bold enough to try to fight it. But the ones I fought to was a loved of battle. At what age did you discover that you are not going to hell for wearing trousers? At what age did you discover that you are not going to hell for wearing good makeup and using good earring? If we don't deal with this matter, you will not be able to perceive life the way you should. And you'll be limited. You have lost too much. And it's time to recover them back. Some of you have lost relationships that would not have been lost, except that both of you are broken people. Even in church. So we're going to investigate the forms of dysfunctionality that exist in different homes. You know where you are coming from, so whatever it is, just pick it. I'm going to be showing you the effect of these various forms on individuals. Maybe another version of why you act the way you do. Then we'll examine the unique solutions that can be given or prescribed to assist or to help you get better. And finally, I will help you see how you can build a new generation. So let's start from number one. Different forms of dysfunctionalities that exist. So, I mean, these things are so many, we may not be able to exhaust it. Is that okay? Everything. Number one, somebody from a home where you have an abusive father or mother. An abusive father or mother. Now, this can be in three different forms. Number one, I would have loved to do is to show you, number one, an abusive father, show you the forms, an abusive mother, show you the forms, but I have to put them together. Is that okay? Good. Number one, of different forms of abuse, sexual abuse, there's been cases of girls being defiled by their own fathers. It happens. I think Joyce Meyer had such experience. Yes. Don't be naive. Things are happening. Is that okay now? Don't be naive. Things are what? Happening. Don't be innocent. Don't be absent from the reality of what the devil is doing in our world. Pay attention. Once you are disconnected, you cannot raise children in this generation. You have to be observant. Things are happening. If you go to school and you see a girl and a boy living together, you say, look at them, seen as a, there's problem. Do you know there can be greater problem with two girls living together? And they are lesbians. There can be greater problem with two boys living together. So you have to be at alert. You have to be acquainted with what is happening. There was a case that happened. A girl called out the father. And I've seen that in most cases where there's sexual abuse between father and daughter, the mother shields the father. Shields and say, and the mother is not shielding the father, she's shielding her own ego. Now, why would they say that? Why, what should the world say that my husband? And some will see that somebody is trying to rape the child, and they will still shield the rapist. They should not look like parents who have missed their duties. Sexual abuse. Number two, verbal abuse. Verbally abusive parents. When you have a case where either of the parent is sexually abusive towards the child, what actually happens is that the sexual life of the child dies unless there is help. It dies. The way the child perceives the opposite sex is affected. Sometimes almost for life. And the case of verbal abuse, it kills the child's esteem. Because the one who should give the child identity and confidence is either of the both of them. And when the one that should supply that tells the child that, do you think you can become anything? Do you know you are a fool? Particularly our heavy Yoruba language. Our heavy Yoruba words. One time I grew up around a woman who would have beat me verbally and say many things about me and say, look at your legs like toothpicks. Look at your head. You look like a devil. You are not even fine. You are this and that. Look at your eyes, idiot. And she said that in Yoruba, and the Yoruba words to be very heavy. Oponu. Have you ever heard those heavy words? Only God knows who is fabricating a gongoshu. You've not heard that one before. No. I'm not sure I've heard that one I just mentioned now. Names, and you wonder why the child can't conquer the world. That child is going to compete with those that were brought up with love, and you wonder why the child feels under. We kill them from our homes. Verbal abuse. Some girls will not believe they are fine because of what the mother has said. Of course, what the fathers have said. Some boys will not believe that they are smart every time the father sees what they are not doing right. And they are trying their best to win his heart, but he can't be satisfied. They will work their life out to please him. And like, what can I do to make this man even trust me? Can't be satisfied. He will never trust them with his car key to drive, but yet he trusts them to come back with a first class, because the first class is for his image, not for them. That's what happens. It is the reality of our homes. Verbally abusive parents. Name calling. Some of you don't even know that the way you talk, it is not the way they talk outside. You have become so harsh and crude. But that's the culture that brought you up. When you talk, it pierces people's hearts. But you wonder, what have I said? Because you have heard worse. And you feel I'm not even saying up to that. But what you are saying compared to others and where they are coming from is bad enough. And these are issues. Verbal abuse. Sometimes the way some parents raise their children, you think the child was adopted. No empathy, no connection, nothing. You wonder what's going on here. So what happens is that the children begin to trust wolves. They start trusting those that can destroy them. And that's why Any pastor who defiles God's children does not have an idea of what he's doing and the repercussion. Because people are practically trying to find shelter in church under sane shepherds. Imagine coming around only to see that the shepherd is more terrible than where they are coming from. That's a story for another day. When Adam and Eve hid themselves from God in Genesis 3, people say, "Why are you hiding?" He said, "Because we are naked." God said, "Who told you that you are naked?" Apparently, the devil did not just make them eat. He came back to convince them, "You have lost something." Meaning that what you hear most times is more powerful than what you see. You can look at yourself in the mirror and believe you are not fine, because that's what you have heard. You can look at yourself and believe everything wrong about you, because that is what they have always told you. And that has to change. Somebody has to stop it. What, in fact, the reality of many African homes is that there's been a disconnect between parents and children till adolescence. Then they try to start becoming friends when the child is in the 30s. It doesn't work. The child you didn't make your friend since tender age may no longer be your friend, because they have learned to do life without you. I'm teaching you because you can look down your parent and repeat words. So I'm teaching you not so you can say, "Hey, my parent." So you can look at yourself and say, "Indeed, I have the tendency of making these mistakes." That's why any form of culture that makes you pursue money and abandon your family is wrong. Very wrong. You are penny wise and pounds foolish. So an emotionally or verbally abusive parent destroys the children's esteem, destroys their ego, destroys their confidence towards life, destroys their perception of God, about God. Number three, emotionally abusive parents. That's still under number one. This one is not just verbal abuse, not just any other. Everything that can damage your emotions, they do, including. Let me share a story with you. I got a call from a billionaire woman years back. She got married to a man who doesn't beat his wife. He doesn't shout at her. He doesn't do anything. But the man just seemed to have vowed that this woman will not have one naira to her account. He's a billionaire. In the house, they have Rolls Royce, they have G-Wagon, they have whatever kind of cars you can imagine. And the woman does not have one naira to her account. If she's going to the supermarket to buy anything, the man will calculate the exact money needed in the supermarket and give the exact money. She cannot drive herself out. A driver will drive her out and bring her in. She cannot travel any part of the world on her own. There will be calculation to the latter, the last kobo needed. He will price it. So I want to marry a rich man. You better be careful. What form of abuse can be more than that? You are damaging her. So sometimes you look at family, there's no concern. Many people need therapy in Nigeria. We are just not accepting it. The PTSD in many homes is more than the one at Warfront. That's the fact. You wonder, you look at this home, like there's no empathy. Do you know when you don't keep records of your children's birthday, you are destroying them? Because they don't feel it's important. Do you know that when you don't have a reward system for your children, when they do something right, reward them, you are destroying their emotions? Most times there's only complaint because you didn't come first. Some children are actually more intelligent than those guys, or you have not studied their own kind of brain. So I've shown you the first kind of dysfunctionality in homes. I said abusive parent. Number two, absent father or mother. Absent father or mother. Now, this is a very, very serious one. Can I say something that you may not believe? Can I say it? I want to really deal with a major issue, and it's a very serious one. Do you know that the society tells you that if your husband is stressing you, pack your load and go? But do you know that the real heroes of many homes are the mothers who have chosen to stay because of the children? What the society tells you is that your child is not enough reason for you to go through what you are going through. It is a wrong culture. So we are raising girls who are ready to opt out once it is stressful. So we are having marriages that are very weak. It is no longer for better for us. If God has blessed you with a mother who stayed, don't let her die before you know what God gave you. That you know if you were in her shoes, you would have left and she stayed. Sometimes we don't know what we are talking about. And there are no two reasons why they are staying than my children. May God preserve them. Because we are just absent-minded, we are disconnected. Do you know what happens to the children when the mother is missing? The mother is the one that brings the part of care, affection. You know, each time I have to deal with boys and I discover that I'm not getting through them, I start asking, what happened to their mothers? My relationship with some people didn't work out. I mean, some boys didn't work out. Because they just won't understand me. They don't see the reason why a pastor should be caring. Why are you caring? Why? Like, it stresses them out because they've found their survival in facing life with a font of defense. Go and check. When mothers are missing, children struggle. And they struggle big time. They struggle big time. Many people who are suicidal and depressed, just one word, one phone call from their mothers, hold them at thou, you'll be fine. The prayers the mother brings to the table, the intercession. Even when they too, they are not fine, but they keep praying. It is a lot. We must not have a generation of young ladies who can't pay prices for their children. We will have a broken generation. There is a lot we have to deal with ahead of us. So because this girl is coming to this marriage with the mindset of, if you stress me, I will find my way. So they are very quick to respond to the conflict in a way that shows that they don't mind it ending. I mean, how do you get married but you don't mind living alone again? Sometimes, listen to this. It is good for a woman to be strong, but there are forms of strength you must not have as a woman. It will destroy you. The forms of strength that makes you numb emotionally is a bad strength. It's a bad strength. You are not affectionate. You are not soft. When you break up with a person, you will never miss the person. It's not really nice. The concern. Some of you are in relationships, and the guy you are dating is going through life. You've never brought him a word of comfort. You don't know how. Because all you keep thinking is Alpha. And we wonder what is happening. Let me say this to you. I'm going to share this story. I'm going to give you this illustration with the story of my NYSC. When I got to the family house, I made up my mind I was going to stay in a Christian family house doing service. Why wouldn't I make up my mind? Because there was no money to even stay alone. So I got to the family house. And I didn't like the things I was seeing. I felt those ahead of us were quite rude. I felt they were somehow so. I just made up my mind. The way they serve people is quite insulting. So I will take conflicts. If I have to buy food, I'll buy food. So the leaders observed that there's this pastor who doesn't come out. So they called me and say, Pastor, you don't come out for food. And I said, see, your people are quite rude. And I'm not going to be subjected to that. So she said, no. Don't worry, bring your cooler. Anytime they are serving, we'll serve your own and drop it in the kitchen. When the rest are gone, come and pick yours. So during the interview for new leaders, they interviewed me and said, what are the things you think are not right about the house? I had a number of things to say. And my set, we had a number of things to say. But when that set was going, we celebrate them, they sent forth for them, did all that for them. But my set that saw the problem, when it was time for us to leave, maybe just about 5% of us stayed. The rest had left. In fact, one time I packed my load, I said, I'm leaving this place. And God said, you have started, you must finish. We complained that you are rude, but we didn't see that they love each other and they bonded. The ones that are not rude, scattered everywhere. What I'm saying is that you can complain about your parent and do worse. Is it possible for you to identify a problem and not be dishonoring? That's the wisdom you must have to survive. You know, this is wrong, but I honor you. Two wrongs can't make a right. You gave me what you gave me because that was all you had. If you knew better, you would give more. But you that know more now, will it not be unfortunate to now do worse? Is it making any sense to you? Absent father or mother. When a man is absent, it's like you have taken away the foundation from a building. It crumbles. There's no way woman alone can raise children and raise them well. It is not possible. Let's lower this arrogance and stop the pride. I have my own money. I have my own this. That's why many men are scared of women having money. And that fear needs to die because there are good women around. There are women that will have their money and they will not dishonor you. They will not disrespect you. They still love and they will submit to you. But there are very funny women around. I have my own money, so you can't talk to me. If you think you want to talk to me, what is that thing that makes you stand shoulder to shoulder with your husband anytime you argue and throw words around? And you too, the real man or mere man, who is quick to say, I'm the man in this house. You are not. We don't know men through announcement. We know them through sacrifice. Let me show you the scripture. Let me show you where a real man is. Ephesians 5. Quickly. Ephesians 5 from verse 22. Quickly. Ephesians 5 from verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. I know men like this. Until you see verse 21, that both of you submit to each other in the fear of the Lord. Have you seen that before? Show them verse 21. Let the guys see it. Men, are you in the house? Or they've left the WhatsApp group? Are you in the house? Shout a big amen. Amen. Now let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. If you submit yourself, you submit your phone. The fact that the wife can't go through the husband's phone already suggests that it's an abusive family. How do you say there's trust when you know that the only way the trust exists is that I must not open your phone? And women have told themselves, if you want to have joy, don't open your husband's phone. Wrong teaching. marry the one whose phone you are free to open. I'm in Ibadan. I have devices at home that my WhatsApp is opened on. So if you chat me up, we are two reading it. And I made it so because it's good for my safety. You can't predict foolishness. It comes like a wind. Have structures that will help you to be sane. So in case you want to be stupid, do you understand what I'm saying? When they say there's something called mid-age crisis, don't say nonsense. I have the Holy Ghost. Put structure plus the Holy Ghost. So call your spouse. In case I become an idiot, report me. The fact that you can't say it means that you plan to become one. There are many men who don't want their spouse to be close to their spiritual parent or their pastor. What are you planning to do? Are you planning to alter? So you two, girl that is enjoying the friendship and enjoying everything, and the way you enjoy it is that he's saying all this, he has spoken bad about all his pastors. You are the next. When he's done dealing with the relationship that matter in his life, you are the next that will be dealt with. Say you see that shawarma you are eating, it will soon become gravel. You don't even know how to spot problem in a man as long as you enjoy it. You are as bad as the problem. Because you are an accomplice. He complains about his pastors, complains about his people. You join him and say all that. Who is the person whose voice can reset your home? No one. I'm a happy bride. Your boss will say, Oju konin bimo igba oju longwo. That is, it takes one person to give birth to a child, but you need several hands to raise the child. You must have people that you have named that are not third parties in your home. And one quality they must have is that they must not have emotional affiliation to anyone. Neutral people who can look at you in the eyes and say you are wrong. Do you understand? My family has too. I told my wife, my spiritual father, I have another mentor. So I said, these people, anywhere I am in the world, and I gave her some friends, anywhere I am, they call me and say, where are you? Fall back to base. Oh boy, shut down. Falling back to base. I can't tell when I will not be stupid. So one time I offended my wife and I did it intentionally. That kind of moment where something enters you and say, make her angry. I didn't even know. I did what I did. I was leaving the house. I did demon like. My wife just called me. Hello, babe. I have to report you to your spiritual father. I said, what's my problem with that? Go ahead. Few minutes, my spiritual father called me. Oga, where you there? So I'm in the office. Be on your way to Ife now. I was wondering, anything you want to tell us, just say it on phone now. I'm going to try Ife again. But thank God we went. There are those who have been anointed to help you. Taking them out of your journey will be counterproductive. Let's continue reading. I want to show you what quality a man must have. I don't want to... Submitting your... Okay, wife, submit yourself to your own husband. Men like this one, as unto the Lord. Say, Abraham called Sarah Lord. Husbands, for the husband is the head of the family. Be the head, not the headache. Be the head, not the... The husband is the head, not the headache. There are homes that would be better if the man was dead. Because that's where he has gotten himself to. There are homes that everybody know, but they can't just say, should I? But they know that the only way there can be peace. How will you take yourself as a man where the only way God can have influence over your home is when you're out of the way? You now complain that men are dying young. Some men, for God's purpose to stand in that family, they have to go. If not, the children will never be united. They are the real divisive element. Use to join children's head together. This one gives you money. That one doesn't have yet. You compare senior with junior. How would they like themselves? You wonder why they are not united. If you are not the firstborn in your home and you are doing better than the firstborn, never allow them to make you the firstborn. God does not want Esau and Jacob. He wants Jacob and Jacob. Don't let your arrogance push you to make your siblings Esau. Some of you can't wait to occupy their place. The head is the head. If they are not getting it right, pray for them. Support them. Don't wait. Still, don't be the kind of person who can't wait until you occupy their shoes. They are humans. Have they made mistakes? Find a way to coach them. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you are not the firstborn, you are not the firstborn. They try to put you there. Tell them I have a sibling. Submit the decision you want to make in the home to the firstborn. That's why you say they want to kill you when you are taking his place. For the husband is the head of the wife. Some of the things I'm saying, maybe they are too high for you. I don't understand. Or am I speaking to a wrong audience? Okay. For the husband is the head of the wife. Ask the man, are you the head or the headache? Off your mic. Off your mic. Even as Christ is the head of the church. The ever-present help in times of trouble. That's the model. And is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. This is the model. Husband, love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church. So let's explain. Church, say amen. Come on, church, say amen. Men, are you part of the church? Please say amen also. Church, say amen. Church, say amen. How nice have you been to Jesus? Do you remember to greet him every morning? But he still loved you. But now the family is going down because somebody did not say good morning. Somebody probably does not understand the love of Christ. Sometimes you wake up and I don't know what is happening. I'm not justifying it. But you are going to what you forget your devotion. Or remember and say, I'm going to do it later. But whenever you are ready, he still comes chasing after you with his love. That is the model, guys. That is the standard. Jesus has given us a very big standard. Like Christ on earth. That's the standard. So how did Christ love the church? And he gave himself. So we give ourselves. We give ourselves. We decide that the proof of our wealth, of our wisdom, of our splendor will be in our kingdom. And who are those in the kingdom? The wife and children. They will be the proof. Some men eat better food than their families. That's not a head, that's a headache. They're not concerned. The man is neatly dressed, sparkling everywhere, but the children don't have clothes. He's not sacrificing. And how do you know such men? You know them from their campus days. Everybody in the room staying together will bring something, they will hoard it, they will not drop. They don't mind everybody sleeping with hunger. When they have money, they will pretend that they don't have. Stingy, stingy. Stingy. They are stingy to themselves. I told you of a time that we are all living together, boys. And one of us had money. We had night that there was no food. We were taking credit of spag, of noodles around. So some of you feeling you are taking credit. I'll tell you, I've taken credit before. You can't pass this side of the street. You have to pass the other side because you are owing this one and you know you're about to collect from this one too. So when you now owe the boat, you now say, where do I pass now? You see. So, I mean, we have to. So one of those days, and he will be with us in the house also pretending like he doesn't have money. And one of those days, I was sweeping and I brought out his bag from under the wardrobe. And I saw money, bundle of money. And I was asking, what kind of human being is this? What kind of person is this? Anyways, long story cut short, we started spending from the money. I will buy pepper, buy tomato, buy meat, we'll cook. He said, you like it? He said, you like it. Take two meat, we'll take one. The day he came and he saw that the money was missing. We had spent almost half of the money. The money you say you didn't have, how can you say it's missing? He was foaming about the house. I said, okay, any problem? He said, no issue. He couldn't talk. The first time he complained, he didn't take the money. I see spend more. You are not a real man if you are not sacrificial. What can you give? Now that you are not married, are you taking care of your siblings? What's your character, your attitude towards your friends? Anyone that wants money, you already have a ready-made letter for them. I just spent it yesterday. Relationship you are into, the only thing you've been buying for her is handkerchief. Handkerchief. As if you plan to stress her. Birthday. That's when you start fasting and prayer. Any anniversary that concerns her, cup boy, you won't give. We are not saying that being a boyfriend makes you a sponsor, but we are saying that Ojutoma ba ni kale koni fire shipping. The one that will be good at night will lose from the money. Listen, if he's stingy now, it is not more money that will make him benevolent. Someone who is generous will be generous with little. Do you understand what I'm saying? What that guy needs is not more money. It's a change of heart. He's a stingy person, period. And the thing will follow you into marriage. You will not know that your wife needs good clothes. You think about yourself alone. Ask the man around you. Hope you are not stingy. So the way Christ loved the church is that he gave himself for the church. Let's quickly run to verse 26, because my time is up. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So it means that we know good men by discovering that however beautiful the woman was before they married the girl, she was a raw material compared to what she is now. Real men bring out the beauty in their wives, not the beast in them. They bring out the beauty. Want to marry one of my daughters? You maltreat them, I will arrange you. Let me tell you a story. Let me show you how I'm going to arrange you. Say, what kind of a pastor? Are you threatening us? Not really. Now, listen. A guy was going to marry this daughter of Reverend Dr. Maupai. So he called the guy. He said, I don't want my daughter to suffer. So he said, I'm going to give you guys a seed towards your wedding. So he gave them a house. Gave them SUV. Gave them money. And he said, take care of my daughter. Now listen to what he said. He said, if you beat my daughter, I will tell God to show you what hell looks like. We need to now have fathers that you can't touch their daughters because of the standard they have raised. The standard. It takes a good man to know that the relation of the father and the girl is abusive and do better. A bad man will take advantage of it and say, after all, were you better in your house? Marry a good man. Guys, can you please stand for a minute? This is the standard. That by the time you touch a girl, when your hands come on her, that you might present her to yourself, a glorious woman, not having spots or wrinkle or any such thing, without blemish, spotless. That is what you make out of a woman. The same way Christ is making this out of the church. It doesn't matter the dysfunctionality you have seen. You will do better. No woman will be crying in your house and regretting marrying you. Men, can I hear your amen loud and clear again? You will do better. You will not make the mistakes of your fathers. You will not fail where they failed. Your wife will be proud she married you. She will be excited she's your wife. She will be grateful to God for you. In the name of Jesus. Now see, now let me quickly teach you a secret. The Bible says you should deal with women according to knowledge. I have noticed that one of the secrets of progress in life is that your wife is happy. When you have a woman who is happy and she prays for you from the depth of her heart, you can't fail. Mommy Felix Adejumo said she told God, if my husband fails, hold me responsible. Listen to what I'm saying. Don't go and pressure your wife. Why didn't you tell God that? It is because the man is a good man. Listen to what I'm saying. Some men are scared of what their night face will look like. Listen and listen good. If you want to predict that your night will be good, take care of your wife. Some of you have seen the relationship of Joker Silva and Olu Jacobs. And you say, ah, she's a good man. Because he's a good man. I'm not saying we should have reactionary Christianity or reactionary living. Some men have not left something good for their families to work with. And oh ye man that is strong, six packs, everything. Only God knows tomorrow. I have seen strong men that can't lift their hands again, but they are still alive. It is what they have sown in the life of the children and the family that they begin to reap. This strength you are boasting of, you will not have it forever. Put your house in order. Love your wife. All these girls you are pursuing up and down, they will not be there for you in your old age. When the branch breaks, the birds will fly. If you pay attention to your wife, she's more beautiful than anything you can pursue. But you just won't. Because it's about the law of focus. Whatever you look at, get enhanced. Look at your wife. Stalk her social media page. Get her good gowns. That thing you are looking at on other girls, get it for your wife. And some of you will ask you, hope you won't cheat when you marry. Say, I don't know. You will cheat. Because the one who will not knows. Shout a big amen. I studied and I observed that there is no much difference between the federal government of Nigeria or the government structures in Africa and many families. There is no freedom of speech in the nation, though it is in the constitution, and there is no freedom of speech in your families. You know that you can't tell your parents this is what is not right. And some of you are already building a system where nobody can tell you what is wrong. If you try to complain about anything in the country or protest, the response is intimidation. The same thing is happening in the home. They threaten you with curses. I will curse you. I gave birth to you. I'm going to curse you. There is mismanagement of authority in the nation. There is also mismanagement of authority in many families. We use the authority to subdue our children, to subdue our wives. We don't use the authority to build, to love, and to be compassionate. And when a nation is being built like this, can only end one way: bloody revolution. There is only level it will get to, and people will feel they've had enough. And what is happening in many homes is the quiet protest of many children. We have had enough. We have to review our leadership structure. There has to be freedom of speech. There should be access to those in authority. The father and the mother should not be emotionally distant from the children. A good shepherd should smell like the sheep. You know what they are touched with. So sometimes the government don't mind abusing you the way they are, because they know your family are not any better. We complain about the nation. The real devil is in the families. And it's time for a change. If people will do things right, they must begin from the home. If they will demand for better governance, it's because the parents have treated them well at home. I saw something that happened in Ogun State. They gave a small, maybe 5 kg or so, or whatever, bag of rice for an entire estate to share. If that is not abuse, what is it? Well, it began from the family. Even when there's money, Children should not eat fish, a whole fish. Share it, become potential surgeon, like this, like this. The problem is that it's not like there's no money. It's just the mindset that when you are a child, you don't deserve this. And that age where they need to be nourished more, we miss it. Families must start doing better. We must get it right. You have no right to complain about the government if your own government is also bad. When you should give your tithe, you loot the family and spend it. Wonder why things are dry. There will be change. I didn't hear amen to that. But the change must begin from you. It must begin from me. Hallelujah. I believe a new army is rising. I believe God is starting something new. I believe a new generation is emerging. Give God a big hand if you have been blessed. Amen. Now, I believe that the dysfunctionality in homes have also spilled to ministries. There's abuse of power. Because the pastor too came from a dysfunctional background. And it's time to shift. It's time to shift into new things. In the name of Jesus. Please, can we all be upstanding? In the next 1 minute, can we ask for wisdom for a change? Come on now, let's go ahead. Let's ask for wisdom for a change. To do better. Some of you will have to cry and say, God, heal me, heal me. Heal me, Lord. Heal me. Heal me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. Heal me, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Can we place our hands on our chest? Father, I ask if there's any heart that is bleeding, that you will heal this heart and mend this heart and help your children to do better. The grace to forgive, receive it. The wisdom to think and do differently, receive it. That the hand of God is strong upon you. Through you, God will be able to do something new, and you will not fail God. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.